Hey there, this is Adam Zekas with Tom Kissingberry from the IDP Read and React IDP podcast right here at TLF. Say hello, Tom. Cheerio, chap, golly, good gosh. Here I am. Great. If you're interested in getting started with IDP and Dynasty Leagues or looking for a way to dominate your IDP leagues, then our show is for you. Isn't that right, Tom? Ah, yes, my good man. And of course, I bring the coveted data and insight that can only come from a monarch-loving, tea-slurping, crumpet muncher such as myself. Yep, very, very cool, Tom. Very cool. You can find our podcast right here in the DLF family of podcast feed on DynastyFootball.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at TheReadAndReact.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem, making all these trades up, got me singing got em, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom, see I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm JC, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 256 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the DLF family of podcasts and a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and as always, we will. I am here in the host chair tonight by myself. Russ may be popping in. We're not sure. Had some issues come up. But got JC here with me tonight. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Got a lot of listener questions this week, which was kind of interesting. We a lot of times put that tweet out and we get like two, and we have like eight. So we'll have some fun with those tonight. But JC, thank you for being here. And why don't you let everybody know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, Rocky, thanks for having me. I hope all is well with Russ, obviously. You could find me at JCJ Dynasty on Twitter. I'm the director of content with Dynasty Domain. You can find our main account on Twitter at Fantasy Domain, and our YouTube channel is at Fantasy Domain Football. So that's where we're putting up all of our content. So we try to put up at least one video a week, 15 to 20 minutes long, talking about a different Dynasty topic. So
sounds good.
Putting out a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you may or may not know, if you listen to the podcast, JC, we like to, our first time guest, which you are, we like to start off with a little get to know you interview here. So we'll go through that and then we'll get into some of the news we have. But how long have you been playing fantasy?
So I got involved in fantasy. So my dad was in a auction fantasy league back in with all of his friends. So I'm 27. My dad's fantasy league, it was an auction league, and they needed somebody to be the auctioneer, somebody that kind of raffled off the players, hit the bell, sold all that good stuff. So I was 10 and I started doing that. So I remember the year before I started doing, so my home league with all my buddies, we're going to DR 14 right now. So I've been playing fantasy football for 14 years. I'm the commissioner of the league, all that good stuff. I remember the year before I started, my dad's league is a super flex league. And I remember him leaving the draft with like Jason Campbell and JT O'Sullivan. And that was 2008, I think. And like that was the year after Brian Westbrook's all pro season. So he had Brian Westbrook on the team. He obviously wasn't an all pro the following year. And then those two quarterbacks. So I saw how not to build a fantasy football team. And then that kind of gave me the idea that maybe I could do this with all my buddies and stuff.
It sounds like my kind of quarterbacks. I tend to fade quarterbacks a little bit in Superflex compared to most people. But I actually do remember both of those guys, Jason Campbell and JT O'Sullivan. But
yeah.
And I guess you must have been a pretty outgoing 10-year-old there doing auctioneering for a bunch of grown-ups.
Yeah, you know, the drinks were flowing a little bit. It got a little rambunctious at times, but there's a couple cops in the group, so it never got too over the line screaming at the 10-year-olds for having a quick bell.
How long have you been playing Dynasty, though?
So I found out about Dynasty when I first went to college. I had a suite mate that played Dynasty, and I'd never heard of it before. So I did typical redraft stuff with all my buddies. I found out about Dynasty, and he was telling me about the rookie drafts that they were doing. And I was like, wow, that's an insane concept. I need to do that. So I've been doing Dynasty for about 4 years now. So not as long as some people, but I think it's the superior form of Dynasty. I have the one redraft league with all my buddies still. It's the only redraft league I do. I can't do redrafts. It's not stimulating enough for me. It's too boring.
Yeah, that's what I, not to insult the redraft people, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at as well. I have a redraft league I've been in for, I think it's about 20 years now with the same group of guys. I'm much older than you, JC. So, won 3 of the last 6. So I still stay in there. I'm making some nice money off of it. So, I started playing Dynasty a little earlier than you, but I really got into it hardcore probably about 5 years ago when I discovered Dynasty Twitter. And then, I'm kind of in the same place you are now. It's got to be Dynasty. And I don't really want to add any redraft leagues. I've been in that one forever, know all the guys, and just like the, like hanging out at the draft every year and occasionally beating their asses.
Exactly, yeah.
So in that time since you started Dynasty, what are your best and worst trades?
So we'll start off with the bad ones, I guess, because you don't want to brag about your winners and stuff. Probably the worst one I've ever had, I traded last year. I traded Stephon Diggs and Kenneth Gainwell for Antonio Gibson.
Oof.
So I'm sorry, not last year, 2021 season. So at this point, Brian Robinson wasn't on the roster. Antonio Gibson looked like he was going to be taking that next step. He was getting a lot of the work there. So I thought maybe I could get my hands on this young running back, Stephon Diggs. I don't know. He's getting a little older. It ended up blowing up in my face. The guy that got Stephon Diggs ended up, I think, making it to the championship of that league that year. So, and Antonio Gibson now is like a 13th, 14th round startup pick. So,
yeah, but that Antonio one, Gibson, though, I mean, he was an RB, like low end RB1 his first 2 years in the league. And then Washington just decided we hate him and drafted Brian Robinson. I don't get it, but
for whatever reason, I don't know what happened. There was a disconnect, and now I just have a pile of Antonio Gibson on my bench.
Yes.
And then this past offseason, I traded Kyle Pitts. I traded Jamar Chase for Kyle Pitts in the 110 in this draft. So, you know, the book's not closed on that one yet. As it currently sits, I don't love it.
I don't hate that, though. And I guess when you traded for it, you didn't know it was going to be the 110, or did you?
I did not know it would be the 110.
Okay. I mean, Kyle Pitts, you know, if he becomes whatever we all believe he's going to be, that could end up evening out in the long run.
Yeah, I hope so.
what about your
good
best?
Dynasty trades? Yeah, good ones. This past offseason, I traded Hunter Renfro and a 2023 second for Garrett Wilson.
Oh my God, that's robbery right there.
I bludgeoned that guy. Unfortunately, I feel bad about it, but not really that bad about it. I got Garrett Wilson out of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And then I think this is my first dynasty trade that I had made. I traded Jamal Williams and Chris Carson for Gabe Davis, Mike Williams, and a first and second round pick. And then I used the first and second to get George Kittle. And then I think Chris Carson subsequently retired like the following season.
So that's a pretty good one as well. Mm-hmm. I guess what's a guiding principle you take with you in trading?
So I think what's the most important thing that I've learned over my time of playing fantasy football is that no matter how bad you want the trade to happen and how badly you want an asset from the opposing team, you telling the opposing manager that they value their assets incorrectly and that they're actually worth less, that will never, ever, ever work in a negotiation. It's the surefire way for people to not want to negotiate with you because you're calling them dumb. And it's something that I did when I was younger with my friends, getting frustrated because they're just so stubborn, just like me. And I just wanted to get a trade done. But at the end of the day, you can't force, you can lead a horse to water. I suppose you can't make them drink it though, kind of thing.
That's a really good point. I'm not sure. We ask that question all the time. And I'm not sure if I heard that exact aspect brought up very often, but yeah, I mean, most people tend to value their own players too highly, but you can't call them out too much on it because that won't work.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do? You know, they're players at the end of the day, especially if you're approaching them trying to acquire a player, then they already have the upper hand in negotiations because you're trying to get somebody off of their roster.
Yeah, and there's a reason they're on their team to begin with, so they probably really like that guy, or unless they just happen to take over a crappy orphan like I sometimes do, they probably made sure they got that guy on their team. So, but yeah, that finishes up our little interview. So we'll get into Russ did set up the show sheet before he had to bail out on the show because of some family issues, but. He put a lot of these secondary signings. I don't know that I'm going to go through all of them. Some of these I don't care too much about, but Miles Sanders and Adam Thielen signing with the Panthers are both kind of interesting, especially like it seems the Panthers would be going into a bit of a rebuild here after trading up for the number one pick. I mean, I guess I get wanting to support your quarterback, but signing a 25-year-old running back and a 32-year-old wide receiver, what's going on here, JC?
I mean, I suppose it's at least not as bad as Chicago, right? What they did with Justin Fields last year, giving them janitors and electricians to throw the ball to and stuff. So, you know, at least you got Adam Thielen there. You got Terrace Marshall there. Tommy Tremble was a decently athletic tight end. Miles Sanders, you know, maybe Frank Reich can utilize him in the passing game again because he hasn't really done it since his rookie season. He was actually a really good pass catching running back his rookie year.
Yeah, I think he coming out of college, Penn State.
Yeah, he caught 50 balls his rookie year. So, I mean, he was capable of doing it at one point in time. I don't know what happened, if the nerve endings in his fingers, you know, they're not reacting to the brain waves or whatever, but he refused to catch the ball any further. So maybe that'll happen in Carolina. I think he's going to need to, because like you said, there's not really a lot of wide receiver talent for whatever quarterback they're going to be taking at 101. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that it kind of is what it is, like I said, I think they're a little bit of a weird signing, the two of them, just age wise, but I think it is about, you know, having guys to, so that when this guy steps in, he's not throwing to, you know, just Terrace Marshall and LaVisca Chenault and whatnot. So I guess it makes some sense in that you don't want to throw your quarterback to the wolves and you want to see what he can actually do and give him at least a little talent there, even if it's some old talent that you don't plan to have too long. But speaking of older talent, Brandon Cooks traded to the Cowboys and Zeke cut, which I did not think was going to happen. So I see you nodding your head there. So what do you think of both of those, especially the Zeke getting cut thing?
I'm surprised that Zeke got cut. I honestly am. I mean, you hear Jerry Jones talk about the team runs through Zeke. They got to feed Zeke for the last couple of years, even though Tony Pollard has been uber efficient. They still have to give Zeke the ball because they have to justify giving him that albatross of a contract, really. I think they did the right thing by the team getting rid of him because it was very blatantly obvious that he was no longer the efficient running back that he was for much of his rookie deal before he received that second contract. But, you know, Zeke during his prime for the Cowboys, he was great. You know, unfortunately, he's not the same player anymore. He's averaging the same yards per carry as most fullbacks do, like a Kyle Juszczyk or something like that. It might even be an insult to Kyle Juszczyk, honestly, with what Zeke has been doing the last year and a half. So I think it's the right move to get rid of him, allow the offense to feature Tony Pollard. And I would imagine that they're not going to go into 2023 with Malik Davis being the backup running back. They're probably going to draft a guy. And then as for Brandon Cooks, I like them trading for Brandon Cooks because that gives them another outside receiver that will then still allow them to keep CeeDee Lamb in the slot where it seems like he thrives and he gets a lot of his points and a lot of his targets for us as fantasy football owners. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to go out and get a guy like that. It didn't really make a ton of sense for them to get rid of Amari Cooper to begin with, but I guess they kind of fixed the problem addition by subtraction, I suppose. I'm not sure, but
yeah. And Cooks can be sort of that Cooper role this year. And I think what both of these moves do is kind of raise Dak stock a little for me. Yet another quality receiver. He takes Zeke out of the mix, which, again, he was not what he used to be, but they were still giving him a lot of carries. It kind of signals to me they might be passing the ball more. And I'm curious, though, do you really look at this as stock up for Pollard? Or, I think they, like you said, I think they are bringing in somebody else, maybe in the draft. There's not much left in free agency, and if it's day one, well, probably won't be a day one guy, but although that'd be funny if they draft like Bijan or something, but potentially a day two guy, a guy that maybe a lot of us are liking in fantasy, you know, an A-Chain or Gibbs or somebody like that. So what is this raise your value of Pollard, or are you kind of figuring he's probably going to be in a similar role just with a different back than Zeke?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, and we talked about just now, Zeke really wasn't a very good running back these last couple of years. So it honestly helped Tony Pollard's value out that he was a good running back and Zeke was not good at football. So if you're bringing in a guy that's young, that has fresh legs, is he going to be better than Ezekiel Elliott as a rookie? Probably. I would imagine that he would be just as good as Zeke if he's a day two pick at the running back position, especially. I did like a little bit of research in terms of guys that have a lot of zone slash gap running scheme, because the Cowboys are one of the most even split in terms of zone slash gaps in the league last year. Tony Pollard had 100 zone runs, 103 gap runs. So it's almost 50-50 essentially. And three guys that really kind of hit that criteria were Zach Charbonnet, Tajay Spears, and Kendre Miller. And I think particularly Charbonnet and Kendre Miller have that body type, both of them being 5'11", 6 feet tall, both of them being around that 215 mark, that they kind of can step in and be like the Ezekiel Elliott role to Tony Pollard's role. That I think probably Tony Pollard will be a top 10 running back in 2023, but going further, like after 2023 is up and the franchise tag is up, do they give him an extension? Do they make the same mistake twice in a span of four seasons and give another contract to a running back? I would imagine no. So I think he'll have value for 2023, but after that, I don't think it'll really be there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think whatever you thought of Tony Pollard before this is kind of how you should value him now, especially until after the NFL draft. He did have a great season last year. I was just looking up trade addict scoring. He was RB7. Points per game, and he can probably do that again. Like you said, he could probably be a top 10 guy. He's a decent pass catcher out of the backfield. It's going to be a good offense. Cooks can only help with that. So I just feel like a lot of the dynasty community is sort of, oh, you know, sky's the limit now for Tony Pollard, and I kind of think we're probably in a similar place, but that place was good. So but yeah, so I guess that's enough about the Cowboys. I'm an Eagles fan. I don't want to talk anymore about the Cowboys. what else do we got on here? Oh, well, actually, I guess one more piece of Cowboys news I forgot to mention. Dalton Schultz leaves the Cowboys, signs with the Texans. That was a one-year deal. I think it was like $9 million or something like that. Kind of interesting. I mean, we've said a lot on this podcast that we both, Russ and I, kind of feel like he was a bit of a product of the Cowboys offense, of Dak's love for tight ends. But it is also a bit of an interesting spot in that you could certainly see him get a lot of targets because there's not much else there, but probably coming from a rookie quarterback. So where are you at on Schultz's value? Up, down, lateral move?
Yeah, you know, I think it's down because, like you said, I think a lot of his value was inherently because Dak really liked throwing him the ball. But I do think it's an interesting point that he does go to a team that's going to have a young quarterback, and young quarterbacks typically rely on their safety blanket, and their safety blanket is typically a tight end. And when you look at Dalton Schultz's run blocking grade from PFF with a minimum of 250 attempts, he's fifth in the NFL behind Josh Oliver, who got a big contract in free agency this past offseason, Mark Andrews, George Kittle, and Mercedes Lewis, who's essentially just another tackle out there. He's not really a tight end at this point. But, I mean, it just goes to show that Dalton Schultz is capable as a pass catcher, and he's a pretty good run blocker as well. So I think it's a good deal for the Texans getting him in there to help out in terms of run blocking and pass protection for a young quarterback that could then utilize him as a safety blanket, because they also got Noah Brown from the Cowboys as well. So that was like a 1-year deal that they went out and got, who he's like another blocker in the at receiver as well. So Dalton Schultz in tight end premium leagues, he could have some volume. Like you said, because I really don't think that they might take a receiver at 12, but if they don't and they wait until day two, Dalton Schultz is probably, I mean, who's going to get targets besides him? Nico Collins, I guess. But a lot of people like to crap on Nico Collins, unfortunately.
I think, the husk of Robert Woods, I believe, is there. Then he signed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. But there's not much else to throw to. I'm pretty much with you. I think this is slightly down for all the reasons you basically said. So he still has potential for targets, but from a lesser quarterback and a lesser offense. I don't think he'll be as good as he's been the last couple of years, but could he be a tight end one? Sure, because it doesn't really take that much to be a tight end one nowadays. Yeah. I kind of think he's just a guy, and he could just volume his way into some decent production, but nothing. It's not someone I'm looking to acquire at this point. On the rest of the guys, I'm just going to run through the stuff Russ put down here real quick. If you want to comment on any of them, go ahead. If you want to just say who cares about all that stuff, we'll move on. But Mike Gesicki signs with the Patriots. Robert Tonyan and Deontay Foreman sign with the Bears. Paris Campbell to the Giants, and Braxton Berrios with Miami. Does any of that do anything for you?
Braxton Berrios, I really don't care about. I guess he'll be a punt returner. Mike Gesicki in New England is interesting because, you know, they don't really have a lot of competition for targets as well. They just signed Juju Smith-Schuster, but Hunter Henry's a fairly old tight end now at this point, and I don't think they would utilize Mike Gesicki as an inline tight end to begin with. I think that he probably will have a lot more of that outside of the numbers, maybe even like X receiver potential in the Patriots offense. And with Bill O'Brien being there, the guy that recruited him to go to Penn State to play college football there, I think that actually bodes well for Mike Gesicki, that he at least has a plan to utilize Mike Gesicki. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Mike Gesicki is now, you know, a top 8 tight end or something like that, but it's interesting. Like a guy that you could target maybe later in startups, or, you know, maybe you could trade him and acquire him for like a 3rd-round pick or something like that down the road. All possibilities. Devin Singletary going to Houston, I think, kind of takes a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Russ did not put the running back things that happened in the last day or so on here. Yeah. Also, Damian Harris to the Bills, but yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think Devin Singletary going to Houston definitely puts a hit out on Damian Pierce's dynasty value. The whole attraction of Damian Pierce's value there to begin with was the amount of volume that he was going to get in the offense. And now, I'm not saying Devin Singletary is a world beater, but he's been a professional running back now for 4 seasons, and he's proven to be fairly efficient. He was a top 5 pass blocker among running backs in PFF grade this past year. The past 2 seasons, he's been in the top 5 of routes run at the running back position. He's been targeted around 17% of the time in those routes. So he's not a prodigious pass catcher, but he's capable of doing it. And these are just all things that kind of lead to he's a lot better than Dario Ogbonwale and Rex Burkhead. And he's going to cut into the workload of Damian Pierce, which is why around September, when everybody was saying to sell Damian Pierce for a 1st-round pick, if you didn't do it then, you're most likely not going to be able to do it now.
Correct. Yeah. And I agree with you. And I mean, he probably needed I couldn't see him getting that workload again this year anyway. It's not something he ever handled in college. So it was kind of I believe he did get injured towards the end of last year, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not something he could keep up anyway. But yeah, Singletary is a guy that's going to eat in a lot there. And back to what you said about Kosicki, there was an interesting point I hadn't thought about. I forgot. I did not make the Bill O'Brien connection going back to Penn State. So, and he is basically a big wide receiver, so which they don't have much at wide receiver. So he could be a top one or two target for Mac Jones there. And with Bill O'Brien, I know Russ has been a little bullish on what Mac Jones might do this year with a real offensive coordinator after having to deal with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia last year. So that could be interesting too. And I think we're doing TA11 startup now. Russ started TA11 and TradeX 11. And I believe we're in the 12th, and I don't think Mike Gesicki is gone. So, yeah, to your point about – yeah, later round target there. Mm-hmm. But that'll finish up the little news pieces we have. Do you want to do – we have a handful of trades and then a lot more listener questions. Which do you want to do first, JC? We let the guests pick.
We do the trades first, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the trades. I'll finish with the first one I have on here. So we'll start with the smaller one. Rashad Penny, TA10, Rashad Penny – for Kyle Phillips and Foster Moreau. Do you care about this deal at all, JC?
No. Wow. Foster Moreau, I think, has the ability to be a starting tight end in this draft cycle. Offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know he just had a meeting with Cincinnati. I don't really know if that really excites me at all or not. I think I have more faith in Foster Moreau staying on the field for 16, 17 games as opposed to Rashad Penny. And Kyle Phillips had some buzz going into the offseason, so I guess I would take that side. I'm just not a big Rashad Penny guy.
Yeah, I just don't care too much. I liked Kyle. I have a ton of – I think Kyle Phillips might literally be my most owned Dynasty player because he was so cheap. I could get him in fifth rounds or sometimes off waivers after drafts last year. And I'd heard some good things about him. And like you said, he looked, he got a little buzz, had I think like a 6 for 60 game to start the season. And then he basically couldn't stay on the field most of the rest of the year. So I can see why you'd pick that side. And Foster Moreau does have some upside. I do think there is potential upside in Penny if he can stick on the roster. I mentioned last week when we talked about him signing with the Eagles that I don't think it's a guarantee that he is on the roster because he only got $600,000 guaranteed. And I do think they probably draft someone. It's just a matter of how high end of a guy they draft. So I think there's upside there if he can be sort of the Miles Sanders and stay healthy, which is obviously a big issue with Penny, but you kind of need a lot to fall into place. But to me, the other side, I mean, is all, you know, whatever to me too. Kyle Phillips could be a never was, and Foster Moreau has shown flashes, but we don't even know where he's going to end up. He could, you know, be somewhere we don't like whatsoever. So, you know, for all we know, he could end up somebody else's backup instead of Darren Waller. So, so I'll lean the Penny side, but that might just be the Homer Eagles fan of me. I don't know.
Like you said, if everything lined up perfectly, he could be the guy. And if he's the guy in the Eagles offense, that's what, 10 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
Probably close to 1,000 yards because you could just walk behind the offensive line of the Eagles and you could probably pick up 4 or 5 yards of carry. So.
And Hurts, I think, helps open holes for the mm-hmm. running backs, too. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a minor trade there anyway. I mean, I don't think you're getting killed no matter which side you ended up on there. So the next one we're going to go to is the other one in TA10, which is kind of interesting to me. 109, 311, and 312 for Jordan Love, 308, 309, and 310. So basically 109 for Jordan Love. I'm not too worried about the thirds there. Is Jordan, I mean, we know he's going to be starting, or we're pretty certain he's going to be starting next year. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets seems all but a done deal. They just got to figure out the compensation. So is does that make Jordan Love worth a 109 to you, JC?
It does not. Yeah, I just, you know, and for all we know, Jordan Love is the next great Packers quarterback for the next decade and a half, and he's just out there slinging it around, and it's just business as usual in Green Bay. But, I mean, a calendar year ago or even 2 months ago, were you getting a first-round pick for Jordan Love? No.
No.
So I think you have to capitalize on the window that you have and get a top 10 pick in your rookie drafts, and you're probably better off for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love getting the 109 for Love if you can do it, especially if most likely he was someone like on your roster. You probably had two or three starting quarterbacks already. If I didn't mention, I think I didn't, to all TA leagues or 12 team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium. So he's probably like your third or fourth quarterback because he wasn't starting, so you weren't depending on him. And to get a first-round pick out of that, even though that, I mean, that first-round pick is probably not going to be quarterback, it does not even matter. And like you said, I'm not a big believer in Jordan Love. I wasn't really doing like I have the last couple years of looking at rookies myself, but just from a lot of what I heard, I was not really super encouraged about Jordan Love and was a little not surprised when the Packers took him. I think it was like 23, 24 overall, something like that. So he's not someone, and he hasn't, in the one or two spot starts he's had, he hasn't really shown a ton either. So I need to see more from Jordan Love before I'm giving up the 109 for him in a pretty good draft too.
I agree completely. Yep.
Okay. So we'll move to TA6. This trade just happened a couple hours before the show. The 103 was traded for Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson, both Steelers. Which I don't love that part. I don't like that. I try and shy away from running back and receivers on the same team, but unless they're just an amazing offense, which the Steelers are not. But I don't hate the Steelers. I think the value is probably on the 103, but I also feel like you're getting two undervalued fantasy starters there. Both guys, I think, because of the way last year went, are kind of below what they should be in the market right now for me. Najee, I think, is a very good running back, and he showed that. I mean, a lot of it was based off volume, but if they can improve that offensive line, and they did sign a former Eagle guard to help the line, who is pretty good from what I've seen. He was a starting guard here, Isaac Seumalo. I'm not sure what other line moves they've made, but and Deontay Johnson, I think, is basically kind of getting killed because he had zero touchdowns last year. He did have his targets fall off a little bit down the stretch with Pickett. I know that a lot of people have brought up that point. I'm not saying that's definitely going to continue just because it did happen when Pickett came in. I still think Deontay Johnson is a target hog and will continue to be a target hog and still not that old. So I think the value is probably on the 103 side, but if I had the 103, I might consider actually making this trade, but I'm also, I think, a little higher on these two guys than a lot of people are. So where are you at, JC?
So funny enough, I am a Steelers fan. I do think Najee Harris is one of the biggest buys of the dynasty offseason because a lot of people just seem to want to move past the fact that he played with the Lisfranc injury the entire season and clearly wasn't able to cut on it or make any missed tackles, force maneuvers, and get away from people that were already on top of him on the line of scrimmage because the line was so bad. And after the bye week, week 9, they had to bye from week 10 to week 18. He was RB7 in points per game in fantasy football. So he really did come back, and he came back strong towards the end of the season. And I think it's probably more likely what you're going to see from Najee Harris. He's already got a top five running back season under his belt through 2 years of his NFL career. That being said, I would probably take the 103 side because if you're talking about startup value, the 103 is being taken early second, mid second, latest, because you're talking about, you know, a high end rookie quarterback in this draft. And Najee Harris, you're probably getting in, you know, mid late fifth. And then Deontay, I've seen him go in like the 8th round. So just from a value standpoint, if you were sitting there in the draft and somebody offered you their fifth and their eighth round pick for their second round pick, you probably wouldn't do that trade. Just because you're putting names to the faces of the assets, I don't think it really changes how the 103 should be valued. So I would probably take the 103 side on that.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. To your point, 103 actually I thought went a little low in the TA11 startup I mentioned earlier. 103 went at 304 in the startup, so a little later than the second. But I've seen it. We actually, another podcast I do, Dynasty Junkies, is also doing a listener league, and it did go, the 103 did go in the second round there. And then Najee went at, where was it, 506, which was to me, actually. I was happy to get him there. Yeah. And then Deontay went at 711. So, okay. Yeah. So not too far off from what you were saying there. Pretty much where they're going. And yeah, I like I said, I agree. I think the value is on the 103 side. And especially, too, I believe this was a rebuilding team that got the 103, who needs quarterback. So it made a lot of sense for both sides.
Yep.
The other team looking to get some point scores. So, and in 103, you're probably getting Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. So
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson, any of those. Or
Anthony
guys,
Richardson. Yeah. 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 So yeah, good deal. But that brings us to our last trade, which is also our sleeper trade of the week.
Sleeper trade of the week. Sleeper trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a trade addict's trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
Sorry for anybody watching. I don't dance like Russ, so. But this was in TA2, Trade Addicts 2, and this was actually me and Justin Mercer, who does Dynasty Coast to Coast. We've been going back and forth, at various times, like we'd take a break for a week or so, but the last month or so, I took over a horrible orphan in TA2 that had Breece Hall on it. And so we ended up making this trade: Deshaun Watson and Khalil Herbert for Jimmy Garoppolo and Breece Hall. So since it's my trade, I'm going to let you comment on this one.
So Deshaun Watson and Khalil Herbert for Jimmy Garoppolo and Breece Hall. So yes. I don't really think Jimmy Garoppolo or Khalil Herbert have long-term fantasy value. So I think those probably, you know, nullify themselves. I suppose Jimmy Garoppolo probably holds more value than Khalil Herbert at the present moment because he's a starting quarterback. Deshaun Watson, I think, is the best player in the deal. So I think I would lean the Deshaun Watson side.
You are correct, JC. Like I said, that is the side that I got. I had Breece Hall. I've been trying to move him because this team is really bad, and I don't need running backs on this team. I'm kind of a, I mean, not Deshaun Watson the person, but Deshaun Watson, I'm a Deshaun Watson the fantasy player guy. I picked up a lot of shares. I picked up a lot, especially after everything happened, when you could get him super cheap. I don't generally, like as I mentioned earlier, I don't generally like to pay up for quarterback, and I figured I would potentially get an elite quarterback eventually, even if he is kind of an ass. So, as a rebuilding team, it just made a ton of sense to me. I think Deshaun Watson still has top 6 to 8 potential. He did not show that last year, obviously, but also 2 years out of the league. You know, playing for the first time in a new system, all that stuff. Not a ton of weapons there. Not that they've added a ton since, but I still think we could see a lot more from him in his first full year back, first full, you know, complete off season where he's not worrying about anything. So, it made a ton of sense. And like I said, I agree. Jimmy Garoppolo was not a long-term asset, so I didn't want him either. Khalil Herbert, I was more just sort of to even out the value. And, he's also, you know, he's a young running back too. He's got a couple years on Breece Hall, but I could definitely see his value if he makes it through the draft without them drafting like a high end guy, that value could definitely bump up, and I could sell him for maybe more than the value he's kind of holding here. So that's the way I was looking at it.
I got a lot of Deshaun Watson shares as well, especially when he was cheaper to get. I think I have three or four teams that have him and Burrow for the quarterback. So because you were able to get him, you know, with all the uncertainty and stuff, you're able to take him in the third round of startups last off season. And it even was kind of a reach at that point, because you had no idea what was going to happen with him, but you just kind of sit and you think to yourself, okay, this guy has been a top five quarterback in fantasy football for the three previous seasons before he wasn't playing anymore. So I imagine he's going to get another shot somewhere, regardless of the irreprehensible human being that he is. But this is dynasty football. This isn't a court of law, obviously. So
yes, and that's the way I look at it. I think I've said on here before, I look at it as I roster Deshaun Watson stats. I don't roster Deshaun Watson the person. So exactly. that I kind of compartmentalize all that stuff when it comes to fantasy. And I get there's people out there who don't, and I fully respect that. Russ is one of those people. He does not, I think he doesn't have any Deshaun Watson. And if he does, I'm sure he's looking to get rid of him. So
yeah.
And I have no problem with that also whatsoever. But okay, so that'll finish up our trade. So we will move on to the listener questions. We kind of touched on this. I don't know if we really need to get into this. Our guy Josh from the DAP Network Fantasy Timeline at Real Fantasy TL, which RB signing has you most interested? Terry Harris or Rocky's favorite Ronald Jones? If you don't know, JC, I hated Ronald Jones almost since he came in the league, and I feel like I've been proved right. But he did sign with we didn't mention that earlier. He signed with the Cowboys. I don't see him cutting into Tony Pollard's work very much. Depth signing means nothing. But you kind of said the Singletary is more interesting to you than the Harris signing.
Yeah, I think Singletary is more interesting in terms of affecting Damian Pierce. I don't really know how interested I am in Devin Singletary as a talent, but I think that they'll bother each other and to kind of render the two of them not really important. Damian Harris, I think, is a decent fit in Buffalo because he provides something that James Cook doesn't really provide. I'm a James Cook truther, so I'm not going to say
I'm a James Cook hater. So
yeah, I will not smirch the name of James Cook on this podcast, but I truly do think that them going out and getting Damian Harris means that they don't intend on spending day one or day two capital on a running back. So if all James Cook has to do is compete with Damian Harris, I like those odds for James Cook.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. I don't disagree with that. Damian Harris is not going to be catching passes. James Cook is. And not that they throw to the running back a ton, but he doesn't really have any competition for that. And he's unlikely, like you said, I think he's unlikely to get any in the draft. I think if they draft anybody, it'll be a day three guy who may never see the field for all we know. So I don't hate it for Harris, though. I mean, it is a good offense. Josh Allen steals a lot of touchdowns, but there could be some touchdown potential there. But not, you know, he's still not someone that I think is going to be anything more than a low-end RB2 at best. And that's only probably if Cook is not doing anything in the running game. Because I definitely think he's going to get a share of rushing work as well, besides just being the guy out of the backfield.
He was good as a rusher when he got the opportunity. He was really good at rushing the ball. I imagine that this signing means that they plan on utilizing him more as a rusher this season as well. You know, out of his routes run, he was targeted 30.3% of the time that he ran a route. That's the same rate as Christian McCaffrey. Granted, a smaller sample size, but that's the kind of usage that he did get when they did let him run routes. So.
So you heard it here. JC says James Cook is just Christian McCaffrey. okay, so from at Klaz K, he's in one of our TA leagues. I believe Steve is his name. Russ asked, favorite game to play outside as a kid? Because he always asks these fun questions in the tweet. And snack when you can't wait till lunch. And Steve says, favorite game 500. Who knows what this is? I do not know what that is. Do you know what that is, JC?
I do not, unfortunately. Okay.
The snack you said was Quest. I don't know what a Quest cookie is either.
Quest cookie's like a, it's like a protein cookie kind of.
Okay.
Like in like the healthier section of the grocery store.
I would not know about the healthier section of the grocery store. So that makes sense. And and then his football question is, what's the best realistic fantasy landing spot for Lamar Jackson?
I think that's easy. It's Atlanta, no? I think Atlanta makes the most sense in terms of fantasy outlook, where you're talking about getting him utilized in the run game in that zone scheme with Arthur Smith, and then he has Kyle Pitts as a tight end who he's shown that he's very capable of working the ball to the tight end. You got Drake London there. And they just went out and signed Jesse Bates and stuff to the defense, so the defense is getting better. AJ Terrell there, corner. I think it makes all the sense in the world for a team like Atlanta to use their two first round picks for that restricted franchise tag and go out and get Lamar, because I think they are just a quarterback away from easily being the leader in that division, at least.
Yeah, and there was maybe not rumors, but speculation about Atlanta possibly trying to do something there. And I think Ritter is pretty much a load of crap, so it would make a ton of sense to me for them to do it. Do you know where their pick is?
Eighth.
Okay, I knew it was top 10. Eighth. So they're probably out of play for anybody except Levis, unless they trade up. And I don't know that Levis is going as high as 8 anyway, but and I don't know that I'd want him if he was going.
Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft today had him going 19th to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, so it makes a ton of sense. The only other one like I was thinking about maybe a little bit was Atlanta was one that came to mind for me, but also possibly Indianapolis. I think they want a young guy. They're at like 5, I believe, and they could get one of the rookies either from trading up or if maybe whoever the third quarterback is makes it to 5. But I do think it would be a pretty good spot. Steichen, you know, works with Jalen Hurts, so he's familiar with game planning for a Russian quarterback. Did it very well last year. It'd be similar with Lamar, you know, having the running game, depending on that, and then design runs for him. And he's got Pittman there. They could get another receiver in there. Not a lot of weapons, but I do think it would make a ton of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and Indy picks at 4.
Four, my bad.
You know, there's the four quarterbacks that have been talked about as first round talents. I'm personally of the opinion that if Indianapolis sits at 4 and doesn't trade up, and say Arizona trades out of 3 and somebody jumps Indianapolis to take a quarterback, and then Indianapolis still takes a quarterback anyway at 4, I think that Chris Ballard in the front office, the house should be cleaned. Like, they should be all fired if that were to happen, because that tells you that they think that there are 4 quarterbacks in this class that are top 4 players in the class, or top 5 players in the class, more or less. And if that's the case, I think that's just poor scouting, or you're just trying to fill a need for the team because you don't want to lose your job. And in that point, you're not really doing what's best for the team. So I think that would give you all the answer you need if they take the 4th quarterback off the board in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you there. If anything, at that point, you might want to trade back if someone trades up ahead of you into Arizona's spot. Dynasty Beach Boy, what do you do with wide receivers from the same team? For example, Deontay and Pickens, or Ridley and Kirk? Do you trade one that has the most value, or do you keep both? And his snack, which is also what my choice would have been, was Doritos. I work in the office about 3 days a week, and almost every time I want something before lunch, I go to the vending machine and get one of those little single packs of Doritos. But and his game for playing outside was kick the can. But anyway, what about his question? What about his question, JC?
Yeah, so I mean, it's an interesting question. Obviously, if you're talking about like teammate receivers, you think Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you think Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, you think A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Would it ever be a bad thing to have both of those guys on your roster? I don't think so. You know, I guess that depends what team we're talking about. in those two. So like his example was Pickens and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, his was more mid-level kind of stuff. Yeah, which makes it a little more interesting.
So I guess it's a case-by-case basis. So like I said, I'm a Steelers fan. Deontay Johnson is one of the most infuriating players to watch because he's so talented. You could tell that he's a great route runner. And, you know, like reception perception says that he's a great route runner. Everything that he does, like the open score from Nate Silver on 365 says that he's a great wide receiver. The guy is the one of the most inconsistent receivers in the NFL catching the ball, which is what you need to do to score points in PPR. You need to catch the ball, which he just doesn't do consistently enough. But then you have Pickens, who has like a 15% target share, and he really only gets targeted down the field because the Matt Canada system has Deontay Johnson getting all these comebacks and checkdowns and slants. So he gets peppered with targets. You obviously want targets if you're if you want them as a fantasy asset. So, you know, I would probably just want the receiver that scores the most points, and whichever receiver doesn't score more points, I would probably get rid of him. That would be the short answer.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's Ridley and Kirk is kind of interesting because we don't really know who's going to score the most points. In that case, I mean. And also, he says, you trade the one that has the most value. I mean, I don't know that either of them has the most value. They're both basically going to get you a second-round pick. In that case, I might just hold and then see what happens. And then if one of them booms early in the season, maybe that's the one you actually move and hope that maybe it goes kind of back and forth between the two. But maybe if Kirk comes out with two big games – and then maybe Ridley takes over in the next few. You sell Kirk off those first couple games and then reap the benefits if Ridley does start kind of picking it up as he gets more in the swing of things, something like that.
Yeah, I think in that particular situation, you trade Calvin Ridley because you have not seen what Calvin Ridley can do in the Jaguars system. You're trading off of hypotheticals. You have seen what Christian Kirk can do because he just had a wide receiver one season with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville targeted the slot more than any team in the NFL last year. They had two of the top 12 point scorers at the wide receiver position in the slot with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. And Calvin Ridley is a 12.5% career slot receiver. So he doesn't really profile as a slot guy. And then Evan Engram obviously got a lot of his points in the slot as well. So it's three different guys that kind of take up the slot role. Calvin Ridley is probably going to exclusively be the X for the Jaguars. So I don't think he's going to get a lot of the slot work. And it seems like that's where the offense kind of makes their bread and butter is through the slot. Could that change with Calvin Ridley now that Calvin Ridley's there, that he would demand more work? Probably, I would imagine. I just don't know how much more the offense would change. So right. I think at that point I would be getting rid of Calvin Ridley.
I think I'm with you there. And I think I'm with you on the point overall too, especially with the way he's kind of framing the question with not talking about the high end wide receiver pairs. Oh, look who's here.
All right, we can start now.
Hey Russ, did you know we had a show tonight?
No, what day is it? Let's get started. Let's go. I'm Dynasty Outhouse and I have a trading problem, right? That's how we start the show?
That is how we start the show. Tonight you're apparently Dynasty FF addict, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I switch it up every once in a while. I mean, like, I couldn't let the babies and puppies in the burning building. I had to go and save them.
Yes.
Like, you got to understand. Like, I always want to be here, but, you know, heroes got to do what a hero's got to do.
And we still have a little bit to go here, Russ, because we started late. So maybe you can chime in on this question. What do you do with wide receivers from the same team, Russ? Especially if they're not the high end guys, because this is Kenny's question from the show sheet. Gotcha. Mentions like Deontay and George Pickens, Kirk and Ridley. So we're not talking like T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. Where, you know, I have a team with them, and I just keep both those guys on my team and get a bunch of points. But what do you do with these kind of this level?
More importantly, you really just made your trade the trade of the week. Did you do the trades already?
I did do the trades already.
Really?
That was the best one.
It
was
selfish. The best one. That's what you are.
It was the best one.
Well, I don't think I made a trade this week. That's embarrassing. Lower level players. No offense, George and Deontay. I know our listeners.
Yes.
I pick. Like I had there was a couple of teams where I coincidentally had Zay Jones and Christian Kirk on the same team, and I effing hated it. Like, no mystery, I hate making decisions. And like, I'll start Kirk every single week, and then it's just like, man, Zay Jones had two great weeks. Let me start Zay Jones this week. Oh, that's the Kirk week. Like, no, yeah. So if it ever comes down to it, and I can just like, all right, can I get a second for this guy? Can I do something with the value of a second for that guy? Well, clearly for Deontay and Pickens, it's going to be higher. But like you said, when it's Waddle and Hill, stack them, man. Go nuts. That's fine. But yeah, lower level guys like that, and even again, these are wide receiver twos, I'd pick one and, you know, plant my flag. And if I was wrong, at least it's my fault. And it's not like a weak fault. It's season. It's team. You know, it screws up my team, not just my week of me picking the wrong one. So, yeah, I'm good with players of the same team. But, yeah, like exactly. I would not want Deontay and Pickens. I would probably just pick Pickens and move Deontay.
So, Russ, you have the sheet up?
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Okay, I'm making you host the rest of the show because I've talked plenty here.
Ugh, that's so selfish of you. I'm exhausted. I just saved puppies and babies.
We got like 4 questions left.
Where are we? Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, his favorite. Okay, so I absolutely wrote this while shoving granola down my mouth because I'm like, oh, man. I know it. Like, well, I said before lunch, but I'm like, oh man, I ate lunch like an hour ago and it's not dinner time yet, but I just need to eat something that isn't like a meal. So I asked the question, what's your favorite? Like, it's not lunchtime yet, but I'm still hungry snack. And he threw out Doritos, which is absolutely.
Yeah, I did mention earlier that's when I work in the office 2 to 3 days a week, depending on what week it is. And if I want something before lunchtime, that's, every single time I go to the vending machine and get one of the single serve pack of Doritos, that's my go-to.
Granola has been my go-to lately, mostly because we went to Costco and I got these 2 giant freaking bags, so I could just plop that thing. And I took a measuring cup for like half a cup, and I might as well just like find a way to put a straw in a bag of granola. Or I will always eat Fig Newtons and
Fig Newtons are good.
Brown sugar cinnamon Pop Tarts.
Always. My wife loves those. Russ.
Favorite game as a child is Kick the Can. How old are you,
Ken? I know, that's what I was going to say. That's like my, doesn't like my dad play Kick the Can?
Even my dad was playing stickball at least. Come on, man.
Steve Klasky says his favorite game is 500 and says, who knows what that is? Do you know what that is?
No, but he is old.
Yeah.
I'm old by meaning he's your age, Rocky.
Yeah, but I don't know what that is either, so.
Nah. Okay.
So I mean, darts go up to 501. Like that's like the closest that I could think of that he could possibly be talking about. But I'm not sure.
I haven't played darts in a while. That was fun. I'm terrible at it. But
I don't think he was playing that outside as a kid, though.
That would be. I would watch that. I would watch outdoor darts played by children.
Kid darts.
Don't do that, children. We do not do that. But if you're gonna do it, record it so I can watch it. Yeah. Okay, at C2C Dynasty Merc. That's Justin, who, man, he didn't want to give me Calvin Ridley today. What tools or resources do you use in the non-point scoring season to gauge value? Which is probably where this question came from. We have fundamental differences in our values of Calvin Ridley, which is weird because he values him more than I do.
I was going to say, no, there's a shocker rough. That you...
Like, yeah. Good for you, man. I'll answer this question, and honestly, I'll give him the answer I gave him. I use every possible thing you could put in front of me. I DLF ADP, I have sub to multiple calculators and analyzers, and I'll use all of those. I do the mocks for the ADP draft, so I have actual, not even just the mocks to look at. I have the drafts I was in. I kind of put everything I can together, but he was using things like, if someone told me like they use keep trade cut, I'm like, I'm sorry. I will not factor that into whatever we're talking about. And I'm sorry if you created keep trade cut, I wasn't here for the, what do you do part of the section? Sorry, man. But Yeah, like I will ADP analyzers, calculators, my own feelings on things. Like that's, and then, you know, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, put it together and try and come up with a value. It's really just the best you could really do, because the only thing that is solid when it comes to values is points. And we don't got that right now. So most things, and I will stick to sites and people of which I agree with their valuations, even if they are different than mine. I agree with their opinions enough that, like, if I go to John Bosch, hey man, I sent this offer and he said it was trash. I felt it was good. And then he tells me it was trash. I'm like, I did something wrong, you know, like I'm valuing something wrong differently. Well, not necessarily wrong, because everyone does have different valuations, but like clearly, usually when it involves Calvin Ridley, it's me who's crazy high, or like T. Higgins or something like that. It just, this so happened to be different. What about you guys? I'm sorry, man. We talked for like a week and I don't know your real name.
It's JC. Yeah, it's all right.
All right, cool. Oh, well, that says it in your... I don't want to be like, oh, JCJ, how's it going, man? All right, JC, what do you use in the non-point scoring season to value some players?
I think the most accurate representation of what a player's value is during the offseason is startup drafts or mock drafts, you know, because that's telling you how people are valuing players on a week-to-week basis, month-to-month basis. Everything changes day-to-day in Dynasty, especially during the free agency period and then during the draft period. So you can only really go off of the information that you have from the community that's drafting along with you and how everybody else values players. So I think that's probably the best answer that I can give without, you know, telling people, oh, trade calculators and subscribe to different services and stuff like that. I just think getting a mock draft together with, even if you did it with 11 random people on Sleeper and yourself, if you just do a random mock draft, you could say, okay, well, this is how some people are valuing different players and stuff like that. And then you could kind of come to a determination at that point. Okay, am I crazy high on this guy? Am I bullish? And am I bearish? You know, and all that stuff like that. I think that's the best way that you can get that answer.
And for the record, you did not create Keep Trade Cut, correct, JC?
I did not.
I mean, congrats, you did. It's a very nice functioning thing that a lot of people like to use. It's just not my jam. I did also, I left out, and it's really funny because after my conversations with Justin, I went and I wrote my Trading Post article about Calvin Ridley, and I used the DLF Trade Finder to write that article, as I do with all of them. And that is literally trades that have happened in real life. So like that to me is usually helpful, because sometimes people make really trash trades, and like sometimes you, like, that's like why one draft doesn't work, because if you have me in a draft, usually two is not falling past the early second, T. Higgins ain't making it near halfway through the second. Like, there's certain things that people will do to screw up drafts, if you want to call it screwing it up. But, you know, it's because people, one person can inflict their value on a draft and completely change it. So, yeah, and still, even DLF's ADP is only six. And so one draft where someone takes someone in the second instead of the fifth, then you're getting some skewed numbers. And it's happened. But that's why I take in as much information as I possibly can and then make the rest up as I go along.
Yeah, and I think I'm with you there. I would also throw in sort of, I listen to more than you do, I think, at this point. I listen to a ton of podcasts.
Yeah, I wish I had time for that.
And I just, and it's kind of like you said at the end, I just try and absorb all this different stuff, and it sort of mixes all together in my brain. And then that's where I sort of get my values from. So,
worst case scenario, I go running to John Bosch, Zach Reed, and Kane Fasel, and Bob Gilchrist. Those are like the four people that aren't in like 18 leagues with me, Rocky, because I would go to you if we weren't in every single league together.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's just like, all right, this feels like I probably should accept this, but this feels wrong to me. They're like, no, you're crazy. You should accept that. I'm like, well, we knew I'm crazy, but should I accept it? Yes. Okay. You know, like, it absolutely also, beyond any shadow of a doubt, helps to have friends to talk to, or just DM someone that you don't know and see if they answer. Hopefully they have something to do with fantasy football when you DM them. Otherwise, they're not going to be much help. But, you know, just like
have people to talk to. Russ and I get plenty of those DMs.
Oh, absolutely. And feel free. Keep going, man.
Yeah.
At Dynasty Madhouse, send them over. But, like, it also helps that there aren't many people that trade the way I do. So it helps that there are a couple people that I do know that are as maybe not as crazy as I am, but at least think at least in the same manner I do. But then I have people like John who thinks I'm the dumbest person in the world for trading the way I do. So I can get another perspective. You know, it helps, you know, if you just have yes men, you're not really learning anything. So like surround yourself with people that you feel comfortable talking to about it. And that's insanely helpful. We'll move on. All right. At Kyze the KYZETHE. I'm going with Kyze the. Is lowest possible points the best way to determine draft order? If so, easiest way to explain that it also helps with anti-tanking more than an ethical tanking. More of an ethical tanking. Favorite pre-lunch snack, peanut M&Ms. Solid. Solid snack choice. What are your feelings, JC? Do you run leagues? Or even if you're in them, how do you, the bottom half of the draft order to be taken?
So all the dynasty leagues that I'm in are minimum least points for that team would get the number one pick. I think it probably is the way to go. Unfortunately, like there is always a way to get around it. You know, you have teams that people give the advice that if you really want the number one pick to just trade every running back off your roster. So you take zeros at that position every single week. Or you could trade all the tight ends off your roster. You could take zeros there. So there is always a way to tank and people may not like that way of tanking, but at the end of the day, it's probably the best way to truly give the team that is the worst roster in the league the highest asset to then hopefully make the team better in the long run. So I think that's probably the way to go.
Yeah, it's a KYR thing. Know your rules. The most important thing is no matter what you're doing is to stay within those rules. I got to be honest. I still just don't care about tanking. Life would be easier if you were just like, go for it. It's fine. Don't set a lineup because everyone will know to do that. Everyone will know who is doing it. And since rosters are random anyway, it doesn't affect one person. It affects everyone equally as long as people don't play the same team twice in a season, in which case then, but even still, that is randomly set. Like, I think we do so much to avoid tanking that we just overthink it and overdo it, and people have to find weird ways to tank instead of just not setting a lineup. Like, imagine what it would be like if, you know, someone didn't trade away great running backs because they felt like tanking a year, but just kept them on their team. There wouldn't be super teams in your league because what do? They sell to people. So if one person can buy three of those players, okay, cool. That's going to be 2 years of domination. All of my leagues are reverse order of rankings. That's the word, reverse rankings. Points for, honestly, that gets in far too much into, did you set your best lineup? That's nitpicky. To me, that gets finger pointing. Yes, I 1000% understand and hate it, but the easiest way is reverse potential points. It legitimately is, because it doesn't matter what you set your lineup as. It is literally the roster that is being graded right there. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. But for things like League Safe, where they don't have the ability to look in on the leagues to see if people are cheating in some way, shape, or form, yeah, that is absolutely the best perfect. Points for, I, because like if you, oh man, they changed. They changed their menus. Where is it now? Like, I don't know where the reports are even anymore. There's League All Reports, which I love now. In here somewhere, under standings, under the standings category, there's power rank, which we talk about all the time. And there's in there is a lineup efficiency. You will see how terrible my efficiency is on most of my teams, which is why you hear me say I'm terrible at setting lineups. So my low points for has nothing to do with my team. It has to do with how bad I am at setting lineups, in which case I'm benefiting from being bad at fantasy football. Like, that's like, I don't know. Like, I get it. Honestly, I think we're trying too hard. Teams in the NFL tank. Lovie Smith got fired because he forgot how to do it for one game. And it just so happened to be the last week of the game that got them kicked out of the first overall spot. And like, I am really, every season that goes past, just leaning towards just F it, man. Just do it. Like, the wording in the Trade Addicts leagues are very, very vague, very much on purpose. Because it's borderline me being able to say, just fine, just lose, I don't care. But by saying, just don't be an ass about it, you know? I think if I had to choose, I like reverse order, reverse rankings order. If I had to choose what is probably the best, even though I think it leads to the worst level of tanking, it's potential points. Because potential points leads people to jump their teams. And sometimes, most of the times, for less than they would have any other way.
I don't agree with that, but
again, but it also falls down to the exact same thing. That's a people problem. That's not a rule problem.
But I agree with you that it is the best way to do it because of what you said, and it basically judges your entire roster. It's whoever actually has the worst roster is getting the best pick because their roster couldn't score points, so they must have the worst roster. I've never bought this argument. Oh, well, some guy scores, you know, on your bench scores 20 points. That evens out over the season to me that some scrub scores some points or whatever like that. And I don't think I don't think that leads to people trading guys just to better their or worsen their potential points. I think teams rebuild, and I think it's rare you trade a good player, good asset that you want going forward just to increase or decrease your potential points.
Oh, no, like I didn't mean to that, not of you, of course, but to sound accusatory of people to like this rule makes people do that. I was just saying, like, if ever asked to imagine what the downside of a certain rule is, that's the first thing that would come to my mind. It's just that, oh, well, if I didn't want to have a lot of potential points, I would just get rid of everyone that scores points on my team. Came down to, all right, getting a third instead of a second, I would do it anyway. Normally I wouldn't.
Part of the reason I like it, though, is because that I do run all my leagues as reverse potential points.
Which is why I would never join one of your leagues, or because you never invite me, but different reasons.
I stopped inviting you because you never joined them. But
that's the reverse potential points.
That must be it. But basically, to me, too, I mean, that's the way most people treat their team when they are trying to rebuild. You know, you're rebuilding. That is what you're doing, is you're purging yourself of point scoring assets for the most part, unless they're just good young play, like good young quarterbacks or good young wide receivers. Generally, that's what you do. And I just think it ties in and it works well. And I think it's it's the fairest way. And I don't like tanking, unlike you. I don't overly care. I'm not going nuts about it, but I do think it can affect some teams more than others. I don't think that assumes that someone's starting to do it from week one that they're tanking.
That's fair enough.
So that's the way I like to do it, and that is the reason why. And I don't really consider it a way of more ethical tanking or whatever he put in there. I just feel like if you have the worst roster, that will bear out in the potential points because you're getting the points factored in from all your guys. So,
all right. Are you ready for the worst argument ever?
Sure.
And it's for my side. I love doing reverse ranking instead of reverse potential points because it's, again, like the Texans. You could go out and accidentally win. And I think that's hilarious. But also, like, that could lead to, like, oh, man, I was tanking at the beginning of the season and I just won 4 out of 6 games. I guess I'm going to try and win now. Like, it leads to more of that, which, again, is a really bad argument, but that doesn't mean it's not one I enjoy.
And that totally makes sense from you, too, because you're all about, you know, And not that I'm not about having fun, but
I'm all about the whole point. Much more than I'm sure most people.
Exactly. That's what I mean. That's the kind of point I was going for. Yeah, but the silliness of it. And on the leagues I run, I don't know. The fairness of it is important to me. And I just think that's the fairest way to do it.
Who cares about fair? I just sell all of my picks to J. Mike and let him destroy the league for the next 13 years. That's what I do. At FF Tommy B, what will the Dynasty QB landscape look like this time next year? How would you take advantage of your projection over the next 12 months, assuming you're right? First of all, I never assume I'm right. That is how I survive most of the time. JC, what are your feelings on the QB landscape right now? How do you feel about it right now? And what do you think it's going to look like in 12 months?
Yeah, so I mean, right now, I think it's more important than ever to have an elite quarterback in your Superflex draft, particularly when you're start doing a startup, because they go quick. You know, after that first round, you get to like that early second round, mid second round, and it becomes slim pickings. You know, like you said, like Tua is probably that last guy that you would take like early second, mid second. Then after that, you're talking maybe rookie picks if you had the rookie picks included. Otherwise, you're in like that Kirk Cousins, Kenny Pickett.
Better watch what you're about to say, man.
Kirk Cousins slander here.
No, I'm saying, you know, it's that next tier, like after that. I listened to the show. I know Jalen Waddle, Kirk Cousins.
Yes,
Jalen Waddle and Kirk Cousins for Trevor Lawrence, I believe, was the trade last week.
So,
spoiler: I would take the Trevor Lawrence side.
Trade Addicts 11, mostly just because I traded out of the second round. Tua fell to 307, which is embarrassing, especially with what I just said, because, yeah, I traded way too much in this. I don't even know what I did. I don't know what my team looks like at this point, because it's I'm on the clock, too. Wow. But here, listen to this. Watson went 205, Tua went 307, and then Daniel Jones went in the fifth.
Your team is really weird, by the way, Russ.
It is.
Can I read your team real quick?
Please, because I don't know what it is.
Mac Jones, Matthew Stafford at quarterback. Antonio Gibson and DeAndre Swift at running back. Obviously drafted Antonio Gibson very late. Treylon Burks, Gabe Davis, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Juju.
That sounds like me.
That does sound like you, but yeah. And then Dallas Goedert and Darren Waller.
That's mostly not bad.
It's kind of all over the place, though. There's like old guys and young guys, and the pick you have 104 and 109 too. So you're getting probably Jackson Smith and Jigbit 104 when you either there or you trade down a pick or two.
Yeah. Honestly, I took Stafford as more of a keep away thing because we hit another tier break, and I'm like, all right, I can pick whatever I felt like going, or I can see what I can get because. Like, there has been zero smoke in L.A. about a quarterback, which leads me to believe that Stafford is probably going to be back there. In which case, I have a start. Like, thank you, John Hogue. I will QBX this a little bit. By me having three quarterbacks is QBXing it because I don't normally do that. Because I did fully intend to just take the third quarterback at the 104.
Okay.
But now I'm just like, maybe I don't have to because I would much rather have Smith and Jigba on my team. But,
That's what I assumed.
What's really funny because like I got really annoyed. I was down in like the second and I was angry at Addison for taking T. Higgins ahead of me or whatever it was. I'm like, screw this. I'm taking Christian McCaffrey. 3 seconds later, why did I just take Christian McCaffrey? Yeah, what did I do?
You were trying to trim everybody the entire rest of the
I finally did. And I'm like, all right, well now my team's young again. So I guess I'm going to stay young. Oh crap. A lot of people just went on a pick run in front of me. I stopped paying attention. I just started hitting accept on a lot of trade offers and just, I like that young wide receiver. Okay. And I'm not good at drafting anyway, so it doesn't really matter. You know, like it for me, the draft is to have fun and do whatever. And then I'll actually build my team afterwards. Like I've done so many trades. This last one where I picked Antonio Gibson, Richro sent me the offer and I hit accept. And I'm like, I should have looked at that. Okay, no, that wasn't bad. Oh man, I hope there's a player on the clock I want right on the board I want right now. Tony Gibson's not terrible. Like that's literally what happens because in the 13th, 14th round, who cares, man? Like,
yeah,
this isn't really team making areas. So it's just like, sure, let's keep some activity going, which I've also often said that I will just accept trades that I don't care about just to keep it active and keep it moving. Man, was there a question we were talking about? Here's the QB landscape look like this year? And you were talking about the huge drop off, and you are absolutely 1000% correct. Like, you hit Tua and it's just like, am I taking Daniel Jones or Kirk Cousins, or crap, I'm going to wait two rounds and see if anyone else does. And I think that's what you should do, but there are definitely people that panic and will probably take someone a little earlier, which I'm fine letting them do, because if you don't get those top tier guys, it's so easy to just to rocky the draft and go grab. Like, there's a lot of starters that are good enough that you can grab very
easily. I was just going to say, I wanted to point out that there's a value drop off. I don't know that there's a massive points, at least at the point he's taught, like Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith.
Value. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 1000% draft value. That's all I'm talking about. But also going forward, like, I think we're in a really good spot. Like, all of the oldest of the top 10 quarterbacks, assuming you still think Dak is a top 10 quarterback, is what, 28?
Yep.
So I mean, we got a while of all of them. Plus, we're getting Stroud and Young, who seem like the real deal. If Richardson puts his stuff together the way Hurts and Allen and whoever else did, he could also be around forever because he's young and athletic and fun. And I mean, maybe Levis isn't bad. And maybe there's a quarterback like Hendon Hooker. I almost said it backwards. I'm like, Hooker, Hendon, that can't be right. No one chooses to name their kid Hooker. And then next year, we have another good group of three or four quarterbacks coming in. I don't know if we're ever going to be in a spot where we have 32 really good starting quarterbacks. Like, that I think is looking too much. But like, when Superflex started to get very, very popular in like that 2016 area, we were sitting pretty at quarterback, which is why it picked up so much, because the lower end quarterbacks were still scoring pretty well. And that's why it's like, well, it's shit to have these guys sitting on the bench. We might as well get points for them. And then we hit like 2-3 years ago where it's like, oh crap, these bottom quarterbacks are not. Uh-oh. And now, you know, it's a cycle because people age out. We just happen to lose like Rivers, Roethlisberger, Breeze. Like, we lost Eli. Like, we lost a lot of those older quarterbacks around the same time, or at least like their worthiness at the same time. But I do think that we are in a great spot that will get better over the next few years, because we have very few aging quarterbacks at this point.
I think the only thing that you could really determine going into next season is that Caleb Williams this time next year will be a first round startup pick.
Oh yes. 101 in rookies.
He'll be the 101 rookie. He'll be, I don't, like 106, 107, 108, around there probably in terms of startup value.
Yeah.
But like, then after that,
people, it's funny. Like, we hit a spot right now where, assuming Trevor Lawrence still does at least what he did last year, starts to look a little better like we hoped he was, because, well, I mean, he has Calvin Ridley, so he's going to be great. And then, like, if Justin Fields, again, builds on what he did towards the end of the season, we have a solid top eight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because right now, almost every draft I've seen has been those eight quarterbacks, Jefferson, Chase, and then Bijan. Yeah. So, like, at that nine spot is where you either put Chase or Jefferson, or if the 101 is a quarterback and he's that good, which it Caleb Williams appears to be, but it's a year away, so who the heck knows? But, you know, people have crashed faster and in less time. So, like, that's a good place to start sticking people in. So it's absolutely, man, I love that we're building the hype so far ahead. This is great.
Well, the interesting thing about the 2024 class is that you have Caleb Williams and Drake May, more or less, has kind of come on this past season, but he loses a lot of his weapons going into the 2023 season. Josh Downs just is in the draft right now. So now you have Bryson Nesbitt there at tight end. You've got a couple of transfers. The Walker kid coming in from West Virginia, I believe, is going to be there at UNC now. But even he isn't a sure thing. Then you have Quinn Ewers at Texas, who, is he actually going to play, or is he going to lose the job to Arch Manning because the boosters at Texas want him to play? So he might be out. And a lot of the quarterbacks outside of those top three are a lot of the COVID guys that got an extra year of eligibility. Yeah. So like Will Levis, like Hendon Hooker, they're all 24, 25 years old. Guys like Devin Leary, Sam Hartman, Michael Penix Jr. These are all guys that are going to be coming into the NFL as prospects at 23, 24 years old. So I don't know how highly regarded they will be as quarterback prospects because they will be coming in at that age because of the COVID year. So I think, like we were just talking about, there's that solid eight. I think Caleb Williams is definitely going to slot in there. And then after that, it's anybody's guess as to what the quarterback market will be a year from now.
Yeah, so how to take advantage of it? Honestly, I don't even have an answer for that. It really, we have come into a time where stability matters a lot more than it ever has in the past. So I think it's finding those players, and of course, I don't just mean like Mahomes and Jeff and Justin Herbert. Like, you know, they're not going anywhere. But there's also lower level players. Like, I mean, we knew for the longest time that Kirk Cousins was not going anywhere. Now we're getting to a point where he might, but you know, we had a solid couple of years where we knew he wasn't. So like finding that stability carries a lot of value. So it might just be sticking into that as opposed to any sort of actual strategy among actual time frames coming forward, besides noticing is the wrong word. Knowing which classes will have the strong quarterbacks and buying those rookie picks and getting into it. Otherwise, I really don't think there's a strategy to hold on to. It's finding the guys you like and you think will be around for more than a season at a time. Because, I mean, I know Rocky gets used to it, but it's exhausting to have to, like, worry about that every single year.
It's fun, though.
It absolutely is. But again, like, that's one of those things where I have 20-something leagues. I'll do like three where I do that. Otherwise, I want Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields on the rest of them. Which I do have them on a lot, which makes me happy. All right, where were we? At Jason Workman 16, Superflex Dynasty, if you had the 105 and have Mahomes and Lawrence, who do you prefer slash hope falls to you there? Okay. I love that. Like, this is an ever evolving process. And for the longest time, I was saying, well, you're going to have Bijan, Stroud, Young, and then you hit JSN, Addison, and Gibbs. And then Anthony Richardson did what Anthony Richardson was supposed to do, but did it in front of the world. So now, okay, Bijan, Stroud, Young, Richardson, JSN, Addison, Gibbs. Like, I mean, we're at the point where, who knows? Like, the draft still needs to happen. Chances are Levis is getting picked in a top 10 pick, whether he deserves to be there or not. That will push him into probably the top 7 pick. And if that's the case, I'm completely fine taking JSN above Levis, for sure. And at the 105, Bijan, the three quarterbacks, that's four. So that's the pick where you get to... That's the beauty pick. That is the pick where it's like, whatever the heck you want, you go do. You want the running back two? Cool. You want the wide receiver one? Sure. You want the tight end one? Maybe that's a little early, but you have the right to do that with your pick. Don't take it at five. Don't take it at five. No. But yeah, I honestly, me being my bias and preference towards wide receivers, I take JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba there. If Gibbs gets drafted early, and I don't know where, but whatever we consider that right spot, like if he gets drafted by Miami, I might be pretty in. I don't know above JSN in, but I'm going to be over Addison in. Again, so much has to happen with the draft, but my answer right now is never worry about what's on your roster. You draft the best player, and then you trade him away if you don't need him. But at 105 right now, my ideal player is Smith and Jigba. JC?
I concur. Jackson Smith and Jigba at the 105.
I try not to answer first because I talk a lot. So chances are one of the things I see is stealing from someone else. But like, sometimes I just can't stop myself. And the fact that I wasn't here for the first, 20 minutes, right? Like that's all I missed of this show I had to talk. So all right.
Your hero's welcome. You save the cats and the babies and you got your soliloquy that first 10 minutes that you hopped on, and rightfully so. So
there you go. See, I like this guy. You can come back.
Rocky, but take it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would also probably go JSN. I
I am a little bit more of a running back guy than you, Russ, but I do think Gibbs needs to end up in the right spot for mm-hmm. me to slot him over JSN. JSN seems like the kind of the clear wide receiver one to me at this point over Addison. It's like, I think it was a little closer earlier in the process between him and Addison, and he's kind of separated for whatever reason.
Destroyed the three cone and
yeah, that was part of it. One that I can't think of. But yeah, so right now I think it would definitely be JSN at 105, and Gibbs would have to have like the perfect land, or maybe JSN has some horrible landing spot that we don't like.
I saw him get mocked to the Seahawks and started crying.
Oh, like, I think I saw that too. Yeah,
I get that they're doing better with passing, and like, no disrespect to Geno Smith because he did really, really well last year, especially compared to what we thought. But there's better landing spots than Seattle.
Yes.
I just got a weird taste in my mouth just saying that out loud. I don't like it. All right. Our last question. Yes, maybe. Click on the right page. Here we go. At Ascent. Oh, man. Why do you leave me with the hard thing? At Ascending D-I-S-S-E 2. Who's going to start the season at QB in Arizona? I don't care. I just don't want them on my roster. Like, it'll be one of the – I don't know. Like, do they
probably Colt McCoy, right?
Is it still Colt McCoy? Like, I wasn't even sure if he was still there. Like, honestly, you're not going to
want to start. Is he a free agent? Yeah, I don't know.
Like, that's – this is one of those situations where I'm glad we got to the point in Superflex where not every starting quarterback is worth, like, a first. Because as of right now, yeah, Colt McCoy and David Blau.
Of Hard Knocks fame. Yeah.
I remember when I used to watch that. Man, that was like 10 years ago. Maybe David Blah, if now I'm just going to say it wrong on purpose, because he at least runs the ball. So, like, maybe that, but Colt McCoy has zero interest in starting. Like, is there a world that you guys want the starting quarterback of the Cardinals if it's not Kyler Murray? Well, when it's not in the beginning of the season.
No.
Unless they trade for how hilarious would it be if they trade for Lamar and then Hollywood beats Lamar back? Oh God, now I want that to happen.
And what happens to Kyler in this scenario?
He's part of the package
to go. He goes back to Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. Hey Rocky. Hey Rocky.
Yeah.
Do you still believe in David Bell?
No. Do you, Russ? Do you still believe in David Bell?
Do I expect anything to happen? No.
Yeah. We talked about this before. Anybody that was that bad in year one, and he got on the field too. It's not like he even didn't play. He got on the field and just did not get thrown the ball. That is terrifying. And I liked his college tape so much, and I thought he was going to be good. And Zach was with us, Russ. Zach liked David Bell, too.
Yes. Oh, I talked to Zach so much that his love of David Bell was absolutely the beginning. And then J.J. Zacharyson said, like, the worst thing anyone could say to me, like, oh, he's just like Keenan Allen. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
He comes to Keenan Allen and Jarvis Landry, you know, just like, all right, dude, I can only drool so much. I'm going to get dehydrated. Please just stop saying these things.
But yeah, the track record of guys who just do nothing for whatever reason really is horribly poor historically. But yeah.
Like, you to get on the field as much as he did. You usually have like one stat to grasp onto, like yards per route run for Tony or snap rate or something. We got nothing for David Bell. What are your thoughts, JC? Were you a David Bell guy coming in? And how much do you still love him so much that you're actually wearing a David Bell t-shirt that I can't see right now?
I'm wearing a Blue Chain Bay t-shirt.
That's a weird nickname for David Bell.
I'm not a David Bell guy now. No. Ironically, the guys from Dynasty Domain that I'm with, they're Indiana guys, Purdue guys. So they love David Bell. Yeah, I mean, like you said, Rocky, him getting on the field and just doing absolutely nothing, regardless of what quarterback was playing, it spells
spells bad juju for the foreseeable future.
Ooh. What's your favorite Super Nintendo game? And I don't know who this person is or if they are magically a patron of our show to see that I have a replica of a Super Nintendo game hanging behind me. I have a 3D printed. It's awesome. It's like 8 inches to a foot long. It's The Adventures of Batman and Robin Super Nintendo game signed by Kevin Conroy, which like is like a prized possession at this point of me. I gotta be honest, like, I want to give something clever, but like, man, Super Mario World was literally—it's my favorite Mario game. And you know, you get Yoshi in there, you get the cape, or you get to fly and spin and kill, you know, or knock them off the board. We don't kill things in Mario. I don't think, at least. I mean, there was a lot of very, very fun games. Like, oh, what was there? Like, all of the ridiculously not good Crash Bandicoot-esque games. There was like Bonkers the Cat was a cartoon. I can't think of what the hell they were called. But like there was so much. Like Super Nintendo is my favorite system, like of all time. But like I'm going very, very basic bitch and saying Super Mario World.
Yeah, I mean I don't remember specific systems that well. Like, I am far removed from video games at this point.
Yeah, right.
But I was just Googling it. I saw NHL 94. That one stuck out to me.
Yeah, but sports games were a Genesis thing. Sports games were so bad on Nintendo systems.
Were they?
Yeah.
Like I said, systems all blend together. For, you know, I was playing Atari 2600, so
I got mine in the back of the behind this wall is, you know, my storage. It's back there. It doesn't work, but it's still there. And I have a crate of games this big, too.
So they all blend together to me at this point, because I haven't really played video games on a regular basis in, like, 20 years. So
you look like you're 20. Were you alive during Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo was not my forte. Yeah, I was not there for that. I wasn't a big video game guy, regardless, PlayStation, Xbox, nothing like that. I was outside playing or reading history books. That was my thing. Kind of nerdy, but
it's funny, like everyone says that, and I'm like, no, I was honestly outside all the time. Like, I was absolutely like the kid that came home and threw his backpack at the front door and ran out and played, you know, like kickball or box ball or anything where you got to throw balls or kick balls at each other, because we were violent little kids. What do you want? Leave us alone. Like, I still found plenty of time to play way too many video games. Oh, you know what was actually one good sports game on Super Nintendo was NCAA basketball, because it was the first game that was on an angle. Like, it wasn't just up and down or left or right. Like, you actually, like, the court was, like, on a diagonal. So it was more 3D-ish comprehensively as opposed to, like, up and down on a, like, Tecmo Bowl looking.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese bridges the gap to lunch. That is a very deep, deep sentence. Yes. Cheese bridges many things, including the gap to lunch. You know, there's nowhere to go from that. We have to end the show. Besides the fact that's the end of the show sheet, but like, cheese bridges the gap. That is how we will end the show. That is going to be the title of the show when I post it, assuming I remember that. All right. But before we do head out, JC, super sorry that I wasn't here for the beginning of the show. It is absolutely all about me hating Rocky, not me hating you. I just want to make sure you know that.
No worries.
But remind everyone who you are, what you do, why talking to Rocky was the worst experience of your life.
I had a really good time, actually. I do want to like answer the snack thing real quick and sport that I played outside, because I don't want people thinking I dodged that or anything. Healthy.
I don't
snack.
Know about that. I didn't answer the snack question. I don't know.
Hey, you know, you never know. I want to be a part of the whole experience. So healthy snack. I like like a banana cut up with like a little like honey and cinnamon on it.
Ooh, and then honey and cinnamon, nice.
Yeah, like my fiance told me about that one.
Oh, see, I go almond butter or natural peanut butter, like, or oh man, like. There's some like ridiculous peanut butters out there that are just like insanely unhealthy but delicious, and you throw a banana in there, like that makes it healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Cinnamon and honey, I have to try that.
And then if I mean like a bad snack, like a soft pretzel or like chips and salsa, that's the goat. That's the goat.
Soft pretzel.
I love soft pretzels.
Yeah. Soft pretzels forever. Yeah.
Tennis ball, baseball outside. You know, just take a couple tennis balls out of the sleeve with your baseball bats and you just go play. Just go play, hit people in the face with the tennis ball and people start crying and stuff. It's always fun. But you can find me.
Cool way to end your set. Yeah, sure. I like to hit people in the face with tennis balls. Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah. Come follow me on Twitter. Sorry. Go ahead, man.
So you follow me on Twitter at JCJ Dynasty, do a lot of rookie content and stuff like that and some Devi stuff as well. Our main account is at Fantasy Domain on Twitter, and you can find our YouTube channel at Domain Fantasy Football.
All right. Our stuff. What is our stuff, man? Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us record. You can jump in the chat and tell us how wrong we are about many of the things we say, because like I said, I never assume I'm correct. So there's plenty of things for you to tell me I'm wrong about. Also, we have our awesome Cool Kids Club on Discord, which you can join and be part of. And ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, where we still have all of the great stuff from SFB12 and Trade Addicts, Junkies, Get Real with Casey. I'm like, there's a K in there. What? It's not Keep It Real. No. Casey's name. Okay. Get Real with Casey Kasem. Timeline, Fantasy Timeline and Superflex Super Show and all other stuff. Shirts, stickers, hats, whatever this hand motion that I'm doing is, something that's shaped like that. Patreon.com. You could see what the hell I'm trying to say because I don't even know. Every single penny from FF Pod Shirts goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So you get some cool stuff. Kids will get some awesome stuff for the holidays. Everybody wins. And now Rocky wins because he gets to go to bed because he did a lot of work today. Thank you, Rocky.
You're welcome, Russ. And yes, I'm very tired. It's time to go to bed. Good night, Russ.
Good night, Rock.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.